You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump
cup.
Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Hello, I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. I was watching the replay of a Florida State Clemson game from 2023. You know they're still undefeated? Nobody's not knocked them out.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his head.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I hope you are having a great day as we are getting rolling here on a day where we're going to talk about a number of different things, a number of different sports are rolling. Look, we are just under a week away from National Signing Day in college football. We've got the transfer portal wide open in college football. We've got Major League Baseball free agency coming at us 100 miles an hour. And then, of course, the National Football League, they are in the middle of their playoff chase heading into week 15, just 4 weeks left in the race. And those of y'all in your fantasy football playoffs, we're going to hit you with a couple of guys you might want to scoop up and play this week. We'll do that today as well as you are beginning your playoffs. And a lot to go over and a little time to do it. So let's get rolling. Here on a beautiful day as, man, Christmas is just around the corner. Let's get the first one poured. All right. First thing we have to discuss is the stupidity, which continues to be Cam Newton. Cam Newton said, I think it was on, I don't know, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it was his podcast or someone else's podcast. Or how the hell it came about. He's never said anything interesting enough for me to want to hang out for more than about 30 seconds. But Cam Newton, or as I like to call him, the Mask. Remember Jim Carrey's character that wore the goofy zoot suits? Cam Newton has always worn that kind of goofy attire. But point being, he called Dak Prescott, who right now is probably your NFL MVP front runner, Tua Tagovailoa, Brock Purdy, and Jared Goff, what do they have all in common? They were all called game managers and not game changers by one Cam Newton. Arguably, one of the stupidest things that I've heard, at least this week. I would say it was one of the stupidest things he's ever said, but he said he has said a lot of dumb things. Remember, was it this past off season? Yeah, this past off season where he stated that there is no way that there are 30 quarterbacks better than me right now in the National Football League. And I had fun with it. And I said, "Oh no, there's at least 60. 30. I think we're lowballing that number, my man." Cam Newton called himself a game changer. These other guys, game managers. Anybody that tries to sell you on the idea that someone in the National Football League who's putting up big numbers is, what are their two catchphrases they always like to use? Game managers, or, and this is usually more used more in college, but they do use it in the NFL, system quarterbacks. Anybody that uses that doesn't know what the hell they're looking at. They really don't. They're lost. They think they do because they watch a couple of highlights and they think they have a grasp on what's going on a football field. You cannot call what those four guys are doing game managers or system quarterbacks. Now, I will say this. Of the four guys that we were mentioning there, Goff, Tua, Brock Purdy, and Dak Prescott, if you ask me who's the one guy who's more dependent on his talent than anybody else, you'd probably be shocked by the answer. It's Tua Tagovailoa. Did you see how bad Miami was when Tyreek Hill came out of the game on Monday night versus the Titans and their offense instantly became pedestrian at best? Hey, but you still got to be able to put the ball where it's supposed to be. Tua still does a great job of reading defenses and getting the ball out of his hands quickly. So I'm not going to call him a system quarterback or anything like that. A system quarterback to me, if you really want to break that down, would be, and we don't really get it much anymore, but like an option quarterback. That's a system quarterback, right? Kind of like the way Tim Tebow was in college football. He was a system quarterback. Then he got in the NFL and he got exposed. Tim Tebow was very damn good at the system that he ran, but he was a system quarterback. There are other guys, I don't want to just pick on Tebow. There are other guys who were system quarterbacks and you got them in the NFL and they got exposed. And usually what it comes down to is they can't read a defense and, or usually a combination of the two, they're not accurate passers or they don't have a strong enough arm. But all four of those guys do. And to even insinuate that Brock Purdy, if you watch Brock Purdy throw a pass in a game and you see how he places the ball perfectly in his receiver's hand, we'll take Deebo Samuel for example, where he leads Deebo on a route where he catches it in stride. That's the difference between him and a quarterback like a Cam Newton, who was always wildly inaccurate. And usually when he did throw a pass, it was a deep pass that got completed. That's the ones that you remember. But you don't think about all those bad passes he threw underneath, where he threw behind his receiver, or the receiver had to wait on the ball because it took him too long to read the defense, or he was skipping the ball across the field like rocks on a lake. Cam Newton was a system quarterback in the fact that he was dominant in college. He was dominant the 1 year he took Carolina to the Super Bowl. But after that, defenses in the National Football League caught up to what Cam Newton was doing. He was never the same. And then the injuries came on and he was really got exposed because he had to literally have to rely on above the neck as opposed to below the neck. And he was never an accurate passer at any point in his career. So for him to try to jump on those guys, what gets me on these podcasts with these guys when they want to say their little, you know, their little hot takes and all that kind of stuff. And I get what a lot of them are doing. They're just trying to get exposure. They want a trend. That way maybe someone will come listen to their podcast. I can tell you right now, after devouring a bit of it, it is a waste of time. So unless you're just a huge Auburn fan who really wants to hear Cam Newton talk, you're going to be severely disappointed with anything that clown has to say. Okay. Item number two. Let's get one forward. The Yamamoto stuff, man. Seems like everybody's involved in Yamamoto. Everybody except the Braves. And he is doing his whirlwind tour. I would think that he'll probably have a decision in the very, very near future. And on that note, on baseball, before I forget, you might see that David Fletcher was outrighted to AAA. Now, remember, Fletcher was the main piece that they got in the Angels trade. This move is purely procedural. He is expected to be on the 26-man roster on opening day. He's expected to be our backup utility infielder. But you may see that information come across and go, whoa, what the hell is he doing going to AAA? It was purely procedural. Yamamoto, this week, met with the Dodgers. Supposedly he's met with the Giants. He is meeting with the Yankees this week. Meeting with the Red Sox. And you can expect some kind of decision on him in the near future. I also saw that Toronto's kicking the tires. I don't know how serious those talks are. But remember, they missed out on Ohtani, so we'll see how that plays out. Couple other things going on. And when you're looking at some of the moving and shaking, right now what we have in Major League Baseball in the free agent market is a little bit of a rumbling. After the Shohei Ohtani stuff broke, and that's been official, we haven't had a whole hell of a lot since. But I can tell you, leading up to next week, so I would say about, we'll call it about a week, the Thursday before Christmas is when you will probably see the next few big moves made. And then you're probably going to have a down period on baseball moves. Now, sometimes things get done, but typically that week of Christmas leading into New Year's is pretty quiet. It's quiet because the players, the agents, the team, the head honchos, the general managers, the capologists, all kinds of folks, they're humans and they go on vacation. And so with that being said, if something's going to get done in the world of the Atlanta Braves before the end of the calendar year, I would suspect it would be done by next Thursday. Now, there's an outside chance during that Christmas week you could get something, but it's very rare because typically everyone's very slow to react. The general managers and everybody who's involved on the team side, they're usually a little more active, but they're slow to react. The agents are slow to react because their clients are very slow to react because they have gone wherever. You think about guys, especially established guys who have already made quite a bit of money. You think about where they're spending their Christmas vacation. They're not like me and you. They're not just going to sit at home or go over to mom's house a few streets down or in the neighboring town wherever your folks may live. They're usually taking off and going somewhere really nice, either, you know, hitting the slopes or going south for some sunshine. And a lot of times they're taking their family with them. And when all that's going on, the last thing that they're able to do is to have real conversations back and forth with their agents. So that's why we're looking at this being a bit of a slower period, but it doesn't mean that all is lost. So I do think Yamamoto gets done before the break. And when he gets done, there are so many pitchers that are going to start falling all by the wayside. There's also the rumor that Glasnow could be heading to the Dodgers. There's a big article out right now where they're talking about Glasnow possibly being traded to the Dodgers. And man, oh man alive, if that could not just be a kick in the grapes. They go out and they get... So when I saw that, I thought to myself, if they are that deep in conversation about Glasnow, are they serious about Yamamoto? Now, the thing about Glasnow is it's going to come down to what they have to give up. The main thing with Glasnow is his health. And Tampa Bay wants to get rid of his salary. That's $25 million. He has been readily injured. But he knows if he goes to the LA Dodgers or the Braves or any contender and goes out and has a phenomenal 2024, he will reset expectations and he is a free agent at the end of the season. So we keep an eye on that. Couple other things going on in the world of, we'll go ahead and get through the baseball real quick. You see a couple other rumors that have been flopping around, and one of the ones that seems to be getting more and more traction, if you're looking at, well, first of all, if you missed it, Young-ho Lee from South Korea signed with the Giants. I was surprised by that because all we had heard in the offseason was that the San Diego Padres were the favorite. But I do believe that there is more financial problems with the Padres than what they're letting on. They keep acting like they are in on some of these big-name free agents. I don't think it's the case. Remember, unfortunately, they lost their owner. He passed away this past season. They were already in financial straits, and then he passes away. And I think you're going to start seeing them cut more and more fat as this moves along. To give you an idea, by the way, of Masataka Yoshida, who is another free agent out there, he was named best baseball player for 2023 by GQ Japan. So keep an eye on that, because Yoshida who came over to the Red Sox, 30 years old, there has been talks that he could be a big reason why the Red Sox could end up landing some of these Japanese free agents. Yamamoto being the main one. Yoshida, if you didn't pay attention to what he did last year, I've watched the kid play several times last year, checked out a lot of Red Sox games. I was extremely impressed. He hit 289. 15 home runs, 72 RBI. That's not going to jump off the screen with you. But what you see from Yoshida on a day-in and day-out basis, and it'll be interesting to see some of the other players coming over from the KBO and the JPL and whatnot. You don't see the foreign players, the Asian foreign players, especially the hitters, specifically is what I'm focusing on. You do not see the at-bats given up. And what I mean by that, not just the American hitters, but also ones that come over from the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, et cetera, et cetera. They are taught it's okay to jump out of their shoes, swing for the fences. You don't see that a lot coming over from the Pacific. And I would be interested to see if any of these guys come over and have a positive career, even if it's like the first two or three seasons, guys like Yoshida, if they could actually start a trend, because a guy that gets on base is putting contact on the ball, which is what we're being told that Young Ho Lee, it's what San Francisco can expect. He's an outfielder, by the way. It'll be interesting to see if teams start gravitating towards that, because there was a theory about 5 or 6 years ago that it was okay to strike out a ton. Now the analytics, and it's so funny we had to get analytics to tell us what those of us who watch baseballs our whole damn life have known. And that is, if you put balls in play, funny things can happen. Swinging out of your shoes and either hitting a home run or striking out, not only is it boring as hell to watch, but it's not good baseball. Good baseball is putting the pressure on the defense. So I found that as a little interesting tidbit, because they voted Yoshida's the best baseball player and Shohei Ohtani won the AL MVP. Just think about that in context, and we will keep an eye on it. Okay. Next item up here on the docket as we get rolling here. We got a quick little soundbite of Jared Kelenic being interviewed talking about coming to Atlanta and what it means for him and becoming an Atlanta Brave and coming to this organization. Here you go.
Obviously, their resume speaks for itself. Like, I don't really need to talk too much about them. I mean, they're unbelievable talent. And like I said, I'm looking forward to just having that opportunity to be their teammate and just having the opportunity to go out and just play baseball with those guys is something that I'm really looking forward to.
Now, here's Jared once again talking about his reaction when he found out that he was going to be an Atlanta Brave.
Yeah, I was I was actually watching the Packer game with a bunch of buddies of mine at my house here, and I got a phone call and from our GM with the Mariners, and he just informed me that I was going to be going to Atlanta. And once I heard that, like, I was fired up, because I knew I was going to go to a really good organization that, you know, they've had a winning history for the last however many years. And it's no question that, like, they were, like, one of the best teams in baseball all last year and years prior. And I was really looking forward to just being a part of that and learning from those guys and kind of just, you know, having a fresh new start and with a new organization. And that's, I'm fired up.
And he was also asked what he was most excited about coming to the Braves, what he may learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most exciting thing for me is being able to not only be teammates with those guys, but also be able to, you know, just kind of watch how they go about their business on a day-to-day and really learn – the ins and the outs of, you know, what they're doing, because obviously it's working. I mean, the some of the best players in the game on that roster. And so that's one thing that I'm really looking forward to. And I think that it'll allow me to, you know, just get comfortable in the box and really hone in on, you know, what makes me click and what makes me the best version of myself. And I think if I can just focus on that, I think, you know, I'll be right where I need to be.
So all in all, I'd say that you like what he's putting out there. We know that a lot of it is just recycled stuff that everybody says every time they're traded and whatnot, excited to go to a team, excited about the organization. Doesn't matter if they're coming to an organization like the Braves that has won every single year here recently and, of course, has a long tradition of excellence, or if you got traded to a team like, and I'm not putting the organization down, but what if it was in reverse and you were going from the Braves to the Mariners? Well, a player from the Braves is going to say the same type of stuff. They might word a little differently. But the fact that he is aware of what should be said is very encouraging. And found it interesting, too. Jared Kelenic said that there have been frustrations. He's not always handled them well. But being a Braves newcomer, said that breaking his foot after kicking a cooler last season, I don't know if a lot of Braves fans know this, he broke his foot after kicking a cooler last season. He was frustrated. He was in a slump. He says he's got to work on that issue and can't let that ever happen again. And I got to genuinely believe these guys do learn from it. Something really stupid has to happen before you understand the old saying, do stupid things, win stupid prizes, right? I mean, if he's got any questions about a guy who's was on the up and up and rising through the ranks in the Braves system, not just the system, but was in the rotation, was one of the top arms in the Braves rotation when it went down, all he's got to do is go over and ask Wascar Ynoa. Because Wascar Ynoa essentially did the same thing. This is a power-hitting outfielder who broke his foot. You can't do your job very well if you do that. And Wascar Ynoa, remember, he broke his hand punching the bench in Milwaukee after a frustrating inning. And it's stupid. Thing is, if you talk to these guys off to the side afterwards, after the dust has settled, they know it's stupid. I've never heard one of them defend it. Not one guy who's ever defending goes, oh no, man, you got to get the frustration out. No, they all know it's dumb. Some guys are fortunate. Nothing ever happens to them drastically. Like, I think of Paul O'Neill all the time when I think of guys who could not keep tabs on their temper. I mean, Paul O'Neill used to beat the hell out of water coolers and all kinds of stuff. As far as I can remember, he never had a long-term DL at the time is what they would have called it. Because of it, and maybe the guys that do that are a little more of a controlled rage. Maybe it's more of a show. I always thought that, especially in the case of Paul O'Neill, that everything he did was an absolute show when it came to getting pissed off and punching water coolers or taking a bat and beating the hell out of something in the dugout. I always thought that was a show. And it always made me roll my eyes. Anyone who I've ever worked in the workforce that did the same thing. Many of y'all know that I've been a chef for years. And I've worked in a lot of kitchens. I've also worked out front. And I've worked in a lot of instances where I'm surrounded by idiots who get pissed off and want to do this and that and throw temper tantrums. And 99 times out of 100, they're doing it because they want you to believe that they care so much. Now, the guys and gals that just went out there and worked their ass off and showed every day how much that they care about their job, they've never had to put on that kind of a show. So usually when you're putting on that kind of a show, it's one thing if it happens every once in a while, because every once in a while you do lose your cool. But guys like Paul O'Neill, who did it all the time, I always felt like it was orchestrated. Kind of like when Bobby Cox would lose his cool and get ejected. You're not going to make me believe that all 130 plus of his ejections were because he was truly mad. You know, a lot of those were pre-orchestrated, and he said, look, I gotta wake these guys up. We're in a slump. Let's do something. Let's show them that I care. But not every single one of the ejections from Bobby Cox was premeditated. A lot of them was him sitting in the dugout. What are you, nuts? That was a strike. He didn't swing at that. That was a ball. Whatever. He was safe. He was out. Whatever the argument was. Hopefully, Jared will come over into the Braves organization and prosper. He's still a very young man. He's 24 years old with a lot of years of control. This could be a very fun time. And if he turns out to be the player that everyone thought he was going to be, remember at one point he was a top prospect in all of Major League Baseball. If he turns out to be that kind of hitter, that kind of outfielder, with Harris and Acuna, can you imagine what this outfield could be? Can you absolutely imagine what it could be? And it'll be a hell of a lot more controllable as far as the dollar signs for the next 3 to 4 years. We're eventually going to have to pay the piper. Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to become a free agent. Realize he would have been a free agent this offseason had we had not extended him many moons ago. Can you imagine what he would have brought on the open market? And oh, by the way, we would have never been able to hold on to him. I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to him long term. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Braves back the truck up and do everything they can to keep him a part of our brand. But that kid's eventually going to earn the right to get Mookie kind of money. He'll be able to scoff at what Freddie Freeman got. He's going to be looking for Mookie Betts, Mike Trout kind of money. Braves have never shown that they have that kind of dough or that kind of commitment to one player. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We got a lot to get into and a little time to do it. Let's get it. Hey, Braves Country. This is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Give you a couple of picks today in the last segment, so stay tuned for that. And we'll really get rolling on Football Friday. But before we hit into all that nonsense, let's talk about this college football transfer portal. Talk about what's going on in the world. First of all, the recruiting. Now this is the Rivals recruiting at this point. At this point, the Rivals recruiting, we all know this goes up and down and down and up and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, this is what's going on the recruiting trail right now in the class rankings. Georgia is ranked number one, to nobody's surprise. Ohio State, 2. Florida State, 3. Now, we'll see if there's any blowback from them being left out of the committee. I don't think there will be, mainly because this, first of all, it's not going to be a trend. If you do what they did last year, this year, if you do what they did this year, which is, in my eyes, win the national title, they won the state title, they won the ACC title, beat everybody in front of them, went undefeated against the Southeastern Conference, you're gonna collect some hardware. There's already talk about how they're going to get these kids some really nice rings for these ACC titles because of them getting snubbed for the others. So fear not, fret not. Alabama's 4, Texas 5, which is it's kind of entertaining. If you think about the fact that Florida State's doing better on the recruiting trail than the two teams that shouldn't be in there over Florida State. Miami is 6th. That's the one that I'm really concerned. Well, not concerned. That I'm surprised, and we'll see if it holds. Miami has been high in the recruiting rankings in the past, and then it all seems to fall out. Florida, by the way, is number 10, so you got the three major powers in the state of Florida in the top 10. And look, you can try to bang your chest about, if you're an FSU fan, we're 3. Miami 6, Florida's 10. If you're a Florida fan, you can poke holes in. Doesn't matter. If you're in that top 10, top 15 range, it means you're getting talent, and it's really going to come down to how you develop that talent. You can have the best players on the planet come into your team, but if you don't develop them, well, it doesn't matter. What you want to see as a fan of a school is that you continue to get, I've always wanted to be, now look, when you're being greedy, you want to be in that top 5, but I've always wanted to say that if I was in the top 15, I'm in the game. If I'm in the top 10, I'm ecstatic. So if you're anywhere in that neighborhood, if you're Florida at 10, you can't hang your head low because there's some kind of perception that, for instance, Oklahoma's got the number 8 ranking. Well, we'll see how they develop them. It does not surprise me that Oklahoma is up there, but we'll see how you talk about one that does shock. Auburn sitting at number 9. That's a bit of a shocker. Now, and I know there's a lot of different metrics on these different recruiting sites, so I don't get bogged down too much on who wins what poll or whatever. I just kind of like to look. I like to get an idea of where we're at. Now, we're going to do quite a bit on the recruiting next week. And we'll also be taking a look at what's going on in the transfer portal. Real quick on the transfer portal, you might have missed a few of these news and notes. And look, so much stuff is coming out every single day. We'll just continue to try to keep you in the know. South Carolina is expected to get Rocket Sanders, running back from Arkansas. He had a very good 2022. In 2023, he was injury-plagued. But in 2022, for a kid coming from Arkansas named Rocket Sanders, 1,443 yards on the ground, 6.5 yards carry, 10 touchdowns. And it looks like he's heading to South Carolina. They've already secured Vanderbilt wide receiver Jaden McGowan, and that one's an interesting one because there it varies on what site. Now, I keep up with about 3 of them, but it varies on what site you're looking at. But most sites have him up there pretty high as one of the better receivers in the transfer portal. And to me, it's just very interesting because he chose South Carolina. There's so many other teams out there that he could go to, and he chose South Carolina. So we'll keep an eye on what they're doing in Gamecock land. Georgia Tech, good news. Georgia Tech lands Keelan Rutledge. His nickname is Big Red. Offensive lineman, all-conference USA out of Middle Tennessee State. He'll be heading to Georgia Tech. And North Carolina State lands Grayson McCall. And he is a fifth-year senior coming from Coastal Carolina. We know that they sling it. And, of course, everybody's by now you're familiar with Riley Leonard leaving Duke to go to Notre Dame. Notre Dame does it again. They go out and get a guy who's got 1 year left coming from the ACC, and he'll head on to Notre Dame. So we'll see what happens there. But other teams in the rankings right now on the high school rankings, teams of note, Michigan's 13, Tennessee, number 19, or I'm sorry, 14. They have 19 commits. Clemson is 15th, Penn State 16, and North Carolina 17. See if I've skated over any one of it. LSU's number 12. I don't know if I mentioned, but Notre Dame is number 7, Oklahoma 8, and Auburn 9. I know I kind of mentioned it in passing. And let's see if there's any. South Carolina, number 23. Kentucky, 24. NC State, 28. Georgia Tech, 24th. So a lot of different rankings going out there, and obviously we'll get a better picture of it next Wednesday, and we will have the reaction show. Reaction show will probably get to you on Thursday to just kind of go over what's happening in the – but look, it starts early, and it will go all day long. And what is different about this for folks who may not pay attention to this, if you remember, there was always the signing day in February – usually right after the Super Bowl, and everybody got signed up and let's go. This, well, the way this works is it's a 2 day window, or technically three, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it will close on Friday. If you have not signed by Friday, you will go back out there and continue to be wooed heading into the Christmas break, and you'll reappear in February and be able to sign then. Some guys like that. Some guys want to be wined and dined. But a lot of guys, the way it's worked nowadays, they want to get it done. A lot of the coaches want to get it done for obvious reasons. But the players want to get it done because they want to get signed up and let's go. And let's quit dragging our feet and quit dragging ass, and let's find out where we're going. And then you will have some of these guys, a lot of these guys will end up be early enrollees in the January semester. So there you have that. And between that and the transfer portal, we'll continue to look at the rankings on that. By the way, the transfer rankings, they're still really, really young, but keep an eye on this. Notre Dame is ranked number one. Now, they've only got five commits, so that tells you how young this is. They are ranked number one. Other teams of interest, Ole Miss is 3. Louisville, 5. Colorado, Deion Sanders is 10th. And a lot of these other teams, most of your powers have not accepted guys in because they're coming straight off their season and they're still trying to figure out who the hell's staying and who's not. So between that and the transfer, usually you get a much better idea of what's going on in the transfer portal after signing day and leading into the second signing day. And then there's another gap that opens where the portal opens up once again in the spring after signing day, and then you really get an idea. The transfer portal, from what I've seen, from what I've learned of this the last few years, you don't get a real idea of what you have coming to you until shortly before teams start having their spring games. So it's something we'll be constantly looking at. And look, there are going to be teams that won't even be on this in your top 25, top 30, top 40, because they don't have a lot of guys that they're bringing on the transfer portal because they're using most of their scholarships from the regular means of getting the kids out of high school. A team like Clemson has yet to even be on the radar of their transfer portal. But team like Florida State, who turned it around and went undefeated this year, they dominated the portal last year. So it's different philosophies for different coaches. And also, I would say a lot of it's going to have to do with whether or not you lose a lot of guys, you retain your guys, and where you are in your program. There are going to be coaches from year to year that they may be aggressive some years in the portal, and other years they're going to take a step back and say, look, this is not a year where we're going to go all in and try to put together a super team per se, because we're trying to develop our kids. Okay, let's take our last break. When we come back, we're going to give you some picks. I got something I want you to hear. We'll be back in a flash. Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show on the phone lines. Wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024. Welcome back. So we got a quick clip here before we get into the pick of the day. And this is from a former Colorado linebacker. I do apologize because I couldn't get his name. I was trying to search it, but regardless, he was on a podcast talking about his experience of when he was cut from the Colorado Buffaloes. It has nothing to do with the fact that he was cut. Wait till you hear just what kind of an ass Deion Sanders was to this 19-year-old kid. Take a listen.
Spring game comes, hardly play. And then on April 23rd, which was the morning after the spring game, I was out at lunch with my family, and it was 11:56, and I got a text from Coach Hart saying, need to meet with you, be here at noon. So, you know, it's 4 minutes away. Freaking out a little bit. I hug and kiss my family. Thank you guys for coming. So good to see you. Be safe. Have a good flight. Jump in the car, rush over to the facility, and I get there, and it's time for my meeting. And he tells me, hey, I was wrong. Your meeting's at 2:15. Don't leave. Just hang out. And so 2:15 rolls around, get in the elevator, go up to the fourth floor, which is where all the coaches have their offices. And Coach Hart meets me. He says, hey, we're going to Prime's office. So we walk in to Deion's little space. And Cordell Stewart, he's a former quarterback for the Steelers and for Colorado, is sitting on the right, Deion's in the middle, and Coach Hart sits down on the left. And I sit right here across from them. And Coach Hart looks me in the eye and he says, hey, Owen, you're a heck of a player. You're a really smart kid, one of the smartest I've ever coached, but we have to let you go. And so Prime was just kind of sitting here looking off past me, you know. And he turns to Hart and goes, tell him why. And so Hart turns back to me and says, you know, you just haven't been playing linebacker enough, and we need an older, more physical, stronger guy than you are. So you don't have a spot here at CU anymore. You're not a part of this team, and you need to find a new home, and we wish you luck. And so, you know, my heart sank, and it was hard for me to hear, but held myself together, and I stood up, and I stuck my hand out, and I shook Coach Hart's hand, and I said, thank you, Coach. You've taught me a lot. I really appreciate it. He said, you're welcome. And I shook Cordell Stewart's hand, and I said, thank you, sir. And I went to shake Deion's hand and said, thank you, Coach. And he said, yeah, buddy, you got it, and pointed at the door.
Look, all I'm going to say about that is what goes around comes around. And Deion getting his ass kicked all up and down the field after pulling off, looking back on it, a very mild upset against TCU at the beginning of the season. And people who were on the Deion train, and I tried to tell people at that point, careful what you're signing up for, because Deion's always been about Deion. And I was a fan of Deion Sanders because I met him when he was young and I was young. right outside the locker room, Florida State football game. They just beaten Tulsa. And he was very nice to me. So I always stood up for him. But then throughout the years, I talked to a lot of people who had met him. I said, dude, this guy's an ass. And I just never wanted to believe it, right? I was like, because I just always remembered that interaction. And then over the years, I've seen things over and over and over again. And I will say this, what this kid is telling is true, a 50-something-year-old man has no business treating a kid that way. You can give him some damn respect and at least look him in the eye. Don't be a punk. And that's exactly, he's a damn punk. He's being a punk. He's a chump. And I don't care if the guy has a gold jacket. That doesn't mean that you have a gold jacket when it comes to being a man, being a human being. And all that crap he has tried to sell people for years about how big of a Christian he is. Well, the proof is in the pudding, my guy. And I guarantee you there's going to be an altercation before it's all said and done. There's going to be someone's father who's going to be put off by that. And Dion has always been all talk. So we'll see what happens. But I just thought most folks would want to hear that. It's a jackass. And I can't help but continue to pull against him. And I never thought I didn't think I would have said that 10 years ago. But the more and more that I learned about him as a human being, it's a disaster. And I'll tell you one thing, something else, Colorado fans, or whoever thinks that they should sign him away to get him to come to their school. Once again, Dion's out for Dion. Dion's trying to get his kids through the Colorado system into the NFL. So he'll hang around next year. But he'll be trying to leapfrog into a better deal where he has better players after this coming year at Colorado. Whether that's the NFL or a different Power Five. And whoever signs up for him, just realize what you're signing up for. Okay. Thursday Night Football, we're going to go ahead and give you a pick. Look, I think this game is, first of all, brutal game. Brutal snore fest. But, with that being said, the Raiders have been awful offensively. The Chargers are without Justin Herbert. I like the teaser in this game. Give me Vegas. I'm sorry. Give me the Chargers +9 on the teaser and the under at 40.5. So we'll have right now the line is -3 and 34.5. We're going to tease both lines. Give me the Chargers +9 and the under at 40.5. We'll give you all the numbers on our picks, get you up to date on that tomorrow. Have a great day, y'all. And I would say enjoy your Thursday night football. If you want to enjoy your Thursday night, don't watch the football game. We'll see you tomorrow. Football Friday. Let's get it.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember.